Professional. Throwback Tuesday, episode 15. I'm your host, Phenomenal One, VoicePullersPodcast.com, brought to you by Carne Asadas.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com, brought to you by Pyramid Cigarettes.
Okay.
That's what I'm smoking right now, so.
So that tells you a lot about our personality. A nigga hungry and a honky is a smoker.
How am I a honky?
Yeah. Once again, I'm eating as we record.
Eating something I've never heard of.
I can't believe you never heard of it. I'm trying to feel like I'm back in Puerto Rico, that's why.
Well, I usually only go to a Mexican restaurant and get the tacos a la carte or a burger if they have it.
I can't believe you never had. Wait, you go to a Mexican restaurant for a burger?
They're pretty good. You never had a burger from a Mexican restaurant?
Hell no.
It's pretty good.
I never eat at Mexican restaurant because they always give you the shits. And I don't want to be sitting there holding my stomach, I think we need to go home early or whatever. Or plus, my Spanish always sounds like I'm flirting. And I don't want the old-ass waitress to think that I'm hitting on her and she might take me to the back and I might misinterpretate her Spanish or whatever. And she might say something like, oh, let me show you something, mijo. And, you know, and I might think of it, you know, like she's trying to get sexual with me or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. We have like a lot of Mexican restaurants that are more like, American workers, not like, I mean, it's different probably from here for you, but.
Y'all got that racist Chinese guy.
Yeah, at that one place that I was the only one that knew exactly where you're talking about.
Exactly, you know, because you said you used to live over there. You used to live there or you lived there?
I live over there and I live close to it.
Yeah, last year, me and Lena went to this this racist ass little small. It's pretty small too, little small Asian restaurant, and they try to be authentic because this dude up in here, every word he said, he goes, "Hey, this is me." He was like, "What would you like to drink, sir?" He didn't say it like that, but he said it. "What would you like to drink, sir?" "Hey," I said, "Let me get some of that lemonade." He's like, "Whoa, lemonade. Very fresh, very fresh." I said, "This guy fucking with me right now." And I kept making fun of him because I started imitating him and shit. And Lena was like, "I can't go nowhere with you." And I was like, "Come on now." So he's fucking with me, so I'm going to fuck with him back. And I got up when he brought me the lemonade. He was like, "Takes a long time, but it's very fresh." And he always had his hands like he's getting ready for it, which is funny because we're doing a martial arts film. But he always did it just like Ip Man does it. He did it like that as he handed it to me. and I got up and did it back to him when we was leaving. I was like, "Hey, great honor." He'd probably say when I walked out of the door in an English accent, "That's black
bastard." It's funny thing, there's a strip club right next to it, too.
I know, because I was staring at it for the longest before we went in there. I was like, I can't remember what it was, because it was all boarded up and shit, but that was like, only place I know that boarded up in the daytime is strip clubs.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get your takeout to go and just go over there and eat.
I tried to go over there, but, you know, they were talking about no niggers allowed or something like that. No niggers allowed.
You gotta come back to Toledo.
Yeah, it's on my to-do list, because if everybody knows, I posted a tweet later that I'm going to be doing some traveling for the rest of this year, probably, and probably heading out this Tuesday, as we speak now, out to San Francisco, heading out of there, whatever, going to the Bay Area for a little bit. Then when I come back, probably going to head over to Texas, so, you know, I'm going to get some stuff done.
Wait a second. So you're going to San Francisco, where it's famous for gay people, and then you're going to a racist state.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to go to all these places that are, you know, trust me, San Francisco isn't bad, especially if you go to Atlanta when there's gay black guys. That's worse. Because you don't know if they're trying to rob you or rape you.
Really?
Yeah, in my case, they were trying to do both to me.
Oh my god.
they was like, "Yeah, take them pants down, take them pants down. Hey, you got some nice drawers, by the way. Yeah, take them off." Shit, oh, okay. Is it a robbing or a raping? What is it? It's both, nigga. Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah,
then.
Socks are sparkly, take them.
The socks are sparkly?
Yeah, I put like rhinestones on my spark. I'm trying to be like Michael Jackson. Kind of like,
oh, okay.
Kayla would love that.
Yeah, she loves MJ.
I know, exactly. That means she loves me then.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly. I look just like him.
The early version.
And the later version. Don't lie.
You mean when he died?
Yeah, exactly. When he was turning all gray and shit. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, exactly. So, today, people... we're done. Now that I'm done eating.
Okay.
Damn, that was delicious. Mm! That was just a stall time, so I could finish that. But now I'll be drinking Smirnoff Ice, obviously.
you girl.
I know. Hey, well, sponsored by them. So, especially when they give me a box of this shit. What am I supposed to do with it?
I'm probably going to go have a drink or two with Vanessa after this.
Make sure you give her the Rufy Colada special.
Okay.
Make sure you tell her I said that, too.
She probably doesn't remember you.
How the hell could she not remember the only black guy that, oh, except for that dumbass black guy y'all had there that was all high and shit. What kind of phones y'all got in L.A.? What the fuck?
we got ones we gotta spin the dial.
That dude, because I made fun of Ohio a lot before I got out there. Even when I was out there, I was like, y'all bunch of redneck ass. And then that dude, pretty much, because none of y'all act just like how I talked about Ohio was. None of y'all act all like smart, profound, and everything. But that was the one dude that whole trip when I was out there, whatever, that just came out of there and was just acting like that stereotype I was talking about. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. He dumped it down for all y'all, whatever. Especially when he asked me, what kind of phones y'all got now? Like, I looked at him and was like, nigga, the same phones we got in every other state. Kind of stupid ass question is that? He started laughing. He's like, you funny, man. I said, what? I remember telling motherfucking Lee Godwin, you know, that ain't his real name, but I remember telling him, I was like, that nigga high as shit.
Wow. That was, then you saw mailboxes for the first time ever?
Yeah, exactly. I started fucking that mailbox or whatever.
You just thought I was a blue girl. You thought I was like a, you thought I was Smurfette. Cause
I thought it was a Smurfette. I ain't gonna lie, I'm blind. I shouldn't have my glasses on there. I saw an arcade game in that place Jordan took me to where Butterfly was at.
Yeah, Ice Cream Crossing.
Yeah, I saw a game machine there. I started fucking playing it. I didn't even stick a quarter in that bitch. I was just running around. I was like, this takes me back to my childhood.
And then I broke your heart and told you there's a nickel arcade in Toledo.
You son of a bitch. And then you tell me Husky worked there too, whatever. And then I was like, you son of a bitch. How come none of y'all told me that shit?
We didn't think it was relevant.
It is relevant. I like playing games. So why the hell would you wouldn't think I want to play nickel games?
Okay, well, remember that next time.
Especially on the fucking Monday where I didn't have shit to do but except film the Negro Hunter.
How would you get there?
I don't know.
You gonna hitchhike?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure some country white woman wouldn't mind picking up a black guy.
Like, they're thinking you're an alien.
Butterfly, take me.
Yeah, she probably. Loves
Everybody loves me. Phenomenal.
We'll just remember that for next time.
Yeah, shit, I'm gonna remind you next time, whatever. I'm not gonna be doing shit. Just gonna be sitting there and bossing you guys around and putting more holes in your blinds.
That was so funny. What's the odds of that happening, too?
People don't know, whatever. I tried to shoot Chad in the head.
With a pellet gun.
Yeah,
airsoft.
Yeah, bounced off his head and went through the blinds or whatever.
I had a helmet on.
Yeah, he had a helmet. People were like, damn, is his head that hard? He had a helmet on. He had a military helmet on, and he got on his knees, and I shot him in the head. And it bounced off his helmet and went into the blinds. And then, did we even notice that, or was it Jordan that noticed it?
I think Jordan did. I don't remember.
Because I don't remember us noticing it. I was just like, oh, I don't know where it went or whatever. And then the sock came in, and he was just like, who did this? And we just looking at us like, oh, shit, did that really happen?
That was fun.
I don't think Sock thought that was too fun.
Yeah.
He's probably like, I bring a Negro into my place for three goddamn days, and he's already putting fucking holes and shit.
It's all good, though. We got a new. Hey, there's a new place.
I'll be sure to put holes in that place next.
Okay.
Well, okay. Hey, you guys. Lighten up a little bit. Come on now.
I'm good.
Guys,
I'm good.
You guys are white. Come on. You got nothing to be stressed about. When you're white, you shouldn't have no problems.
What is that from?
I don't know.
Is that from a movie?
Probably is.
Sounds like something like you have nothing to be. You're white.
Yeah, you are white.
Sounds like something from Chris Tucker would say. I don't remember.
Probably is.
All right, you ready to get to the review?
Anyway. Today we're doing a special film here today. Ip Man, 2008 film released. Everybody knows what he's most famous for. He's Bruce Lee's master. taught Bruce Lee everything he knows, whatever. Everything you thought Bruce Lee was a badass in is because of this badass man named Ip Man here. He's pretty much a legend in Chinese mythology. Well, not even mythology, just Chinese culture general.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember when he died.
Let me go to his wiki.
It was the 70s, wasn't it?
I don't know. I was on the movie. He died in 72.
Yeah, okay, so he died in 72, and that man is still talked about down there.
Died from throat cancer.
Yeah, oh, I didn't even know cancer was existing in 70.
Well, he did smoke in the movie.
No. Oh, yeah, he was a smoker, so, yeah, shit, he had to fight a lot of people's asses or whatever. I'd imagine he was stressed out.
Yeah.
A cigarette.
And he had a bitch of a wife early on.
Yeah, exactly. That bitch was hot, bro. God damn.
No, it's just funny that she was such a bitch when they had money and they were rich and shit. And then when they they go poor, she's like all lovey-dovey with him.
You should see her in part two then. She's very supportive about him. And, everybody knows this is a biopic or whatever.
Is this true? Is this whole thing a true story?
Most of it's true. The working at the where they were
coal mine
called coal.
Coal, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the coal factory. That's not true. He actually became a police officer. But I guess it made. I remember hearing the director do an interview or whatever. He was saying that it was more dramatic this way. He changed that. And the ending, he didn't fight some general or whatever. So that isn't true either.
Okay. Because that's what I was kind of wondering. I was wondering if this was like really true or not.
Yeah, most of the stuff that happened, it pretty much is a biopic, but, like, of course they're going to change some things because of, you know, movie stuff. It would be probably boring if it ended in the way it did in real life instead of having a big fight scene with a general and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ending where he got shot, that did happen.
Yeah.
That really did happen. The second one it's loosely based, but there's a lot of historical facts in there that they get right.
Okay.
So,
is Bruce Lee, because obviously the second one's probably more about his trip to Hong Kong, is Bruce Lee, like, shown in it? Like, is there, like, a character Bruce Lee in it?
See, here's the thing about Bruce Lee or whatever, because the director wants to do that movie about Bruce Lee, but the Lee family wouldn't let him do it,
because
they own his rights to Bruce Lee or whatever, and he was pretty upset about that, so what he did at the end of the film is when it's over, after Ip Man defeats the British invasion and stuff like that, or pretty much the British intelligence, his nephew comes and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, Uncle Ip," he's like, "I got a new student here for you," whatever. And you see the door opens up and he moves out the way, and this little 10-year-old boy walks in, just like Bruce Lee. I was just looking at that like, that is fucking Bruce Lee. he does, you know how Bruce Lee does that walk?
Yeah.
This little boy had that walk down. He had the stare down and everything. He even did the little thumb across his nose thing.
Really?
And I was just looking at that. I was like, man, was that kid really Bruce Lee?
he got reincarnated to that kid.
He got reincarnated to that kid. Where it's like, damn, I wonder how many Chinese people study Bruce Lee because this kid had it down to a peg. And it's funny because Ip Man's just standing. He's like, "What's your name?" He's like, "My name's Bruce Lee." He's like, "I want to fight so I can beat up everybody that ever bullied someone or whatever." And he does the little thumb across the nose thing. He's like getting his fist ready, and then Ip Man just laughs. And he's like, "Come back to me when you're older." And I was like,
yeah.
Oh. So like 5 years later, he comes back or whatever, and then he trains Bruce. I hear in the, which by the way, everybody knows, one of the reasons why I picked Ip Man is because Grandmaster, which is based on Ip Man, but not so much his story or whatever. It has Ip Man in the movie, though. That came out like 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks from now, whatever, Ip Man 3 will be coming out, which I hear that it's supposed to be about more with Bruce Lee in it.
Okay, so they actually got permission from the family, then.
They have the actor that plays Ip Man, he didn't want to come back for the second one, for a third one, because he said the second one is such a masterpiece, which I agree. Actually, Ip Man 2 is probably my favorite martial arts film. It's
yeah, that's what you told me. You told me that too.
I like this one, but the second one is like 20 times better as well.
Okay.
I hear that's what they want to do. I haven't heard any synopsis on it or anything like that. But they got a new actor, new director, and all that stuff. So I don't know if it's true or not. If that rumor.
That's a shame because I really like this actor that played Ip Man.
Yeah, he's really good. Like he just. It's something about him that's so humble. Even though, you know, we can't because it's subtitled people. So, you know, he's speaking Chinese or whatever. we can't understand what he, but he looks so humbled and
he nice does.
Looking, but he looks like he can kick your ass at the same time.
I liked it. I really did like him a lot.
Yeah, he's very charismatic.
He was probably the best character. Well, obviously, he's the best character in the movie. He's like only the he's like one of the most likable characters in the movie.
He's very likable too. And I actually like him as well. Whatever. I wish he would come back for the third one, but I heard an interview where he was saying he's like the second one is such a masterpiece. He feels like I can't top that. So for the movie with the whole new director and all that, and the way they want to go, it can't be topped. So he said, I don't even want to try. I kind of respect that in a way. It's like, you know, the third, sometimes sequels don't go as great as the first movie does, but that sequel is actually good, and the third one, he didn't feel like he could be on par with that one, so, mm-hmm. in a way, I kind of respect it, but, you know, I wish I would have saw him come back for the third one.
But, there's really no statistics to their give. It was box office, so it was in the U.S., made $11 million, or $21
million. Mm-hmm. Opening weekend for the second one in America was $15 million, which was pretty high.
It's just, there's like, yeah, has I mean I don't really follow martial art movies as opposed to you do. Has there been American? What was the last American martial arts movie?
I guess if you really want to call this a martial arts film, was it The Man with the Iron Fist that last year?
Okay, what was the one that had Gregory Rutt or Jeffrey Rush, Kate Bosworth? Do you remember that? It was like Lone Warrior or something, or wasn't that a martial arts movie?
It had martial arts elements in it. I don't know if they considered it a martial arts film. I can't remember.
I'm looking it up.
The movie you're talking about, though. I just
The Warrior's Way.
The Warrior's Way. Yeah, there was a bunch of ninjas and shit.
That was a good movie. I like that movie.
I don't know if they considered it a martial arts, but I can see where they if it's Americanized and yeah, it's an Americanized version of it.
Mm-hmm. Because there's not a lot of martial arts movie out there.
No, because you know the. You know, Chinese are the ones that they, like, seriously, Chinese have, like, took the martial arts film and made it, like, it used to be back then, like, it used to be almost kind of comical in a way, but, mm-hmm. like, with Ip Man and Ip Man 2 and all that stuff like that, it really got more serious dramas. They started making it more, a little bit more historical.
Yeah.
Which they tried to interpret, like, some of the events that either happened in the area and stuff like that, which I actually love that part of the film and stuff.
That's I love the cinematography of the movie. I thought that was really good.
Cinematography is beautiful.
It was, especially at the beginning when they were showing like all the schools, you know, just practicing, and then that kite's flying, mm-hmm. and it flies into the tree by Ip Man's house. That was actually a really beautiful shot.
Ooh, it makes you wonder. When I was rewatching this over, people are gonna laugh, but I was rewatching this over, and I was like. How come they can't get a Street Fighter movie right now? So I'm trying to understand. Like, maybe if they that video game into, like, a kung fu martial arts film or whatever, maybe they can get it right instead of trying to just, how many characters from Street Fighter can we stick in there? How can we put a story? Because when I watched this, I was just like, you know what? This could be Street Fighter. I mean, they don't, I know, like, they try to, like, follow the game, like, have a story of the game or some shit like that. But, like, if they just put the characters in a story like this or whatever, nobody would give a shit. They'd be mm-hmm. like, oh, this is a good street. This is a good video game movie. We finally got that awesome video game movie or whatever. So, why they can't do that?
I don't know. I mean, that's a question. Maybe China should just make a Street Fighter movie.
I was just about to say that. Maybe, do you think it's because it's just Americanized so much or whatever that to the point that they feel that Americans need... First of all, we all know Americans don't like subtitle films.
Mm-hmm.
Your average film buffs like me, you, or even the listeners here, whatever, they'll go watch it because they enjoy it. They don't mind it, but when you go about average, they look at that like, I don't want to read this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I mean, that's why Passion of the Christ got it kind of like people that want to see it wanted the fact that it was subtitled. And people think it's too hard to follow the movie with subtitles. Which, I'm not going to lie, it's hard, but something like this, and like when we did I Saw the Devil, mm-hmm. it wasn't that bad.
You know what, I kind of prefer subtitles now, whatever, is because it's been a while since I've seen it in theaters, mm-hmm. but seeing it at home, I tend to pay more attention to it.
Yeah, because I do watch some movies with subtitles so I can pay attention to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But that's just me.
Like, if Inception was subtitled, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't have had problems with it. Because, you know, a lot of people said it was too long and it was too complicated for them to go. And mm-hmm. I think it's because most of them were either dozing off or something like that. But if you had to pay like close attention to it, to where it was subtitled, I have a feeling that people would appreciate it a little bit more. Even though people do appreciate it a lot more now or whatever, but I'm sure even people that don't appreciate it would.
How in the fuck are you gonna fall asleep watching Inception?
Man, you wouldn't believe some of the shit I heard. So I was like, how could you? You need to get... I don't understand that. If it's good, you gotta go from beginning to end. You just can't go half. It just doesn't work or whatever. But for subtitle films, I enjoy it more just for, like, I Saw the Devil, or even this one. Well, even I Saw the Devil, it's violent and gruesome, but it's, like, necessary violence, and mm-hmm. Even though I want to turn my face, I can't turn my face at the same time because I have to pay attention to what the dialogue is and what's going on and what this character does. And with this one, it's a martial arts film, but it has a lot of story in it too. Especially when we get like 20 minutes into the film.
It does. I'll just give a little quick plot synopsis. That took place in the 1930s in China, southern China, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the town called? Fushan?
Yeah.
Which is known for the most skilled martial arts experts in China, right? China, in the whole country?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so we meet IP Man, who's the pretty much the legend of the town.
Yeah, and it's funny because he doesn't, like, he doesn't train students because they're wealthy, so he doesn't feel he needs the money at the time or whatever, and he doesn't like it because of the burden of students or whatever. I think the town respects him most because masters have, like, private sessions with him, and he gives them, like, lessons and tutorials and stuff like that for free.
Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, was, like, I think it started in 1936, and I'm like, because I didn't read the synopsis of the movie, I just knew from what you told me. And when I saw 1936, and I saw China, I'm like, something with World War III is going to happen, or World War II is going to happen on this.
Yeah, 1937 is when the Japanese invasion started.
Yeah, so I kind of figured that this might have led to, like, a World War II thing, which it somewhat did, because Japan did invade China. Yeah. And so I kind of figured it was kind of going to tie into that. It somewhat did, but just didn't say anything. But
yeah, in the first and second film, they both have, like, in this one they have the Japanese invasion, the second one they have more of the British, of how, like, the Western culture tries to empower their power upon the Asian culture.
Okay.
And that's probably my favorite thing of the series, too, because, you know, most kung fu martial arts films are just, like, action and story of dynasties and shit like that. With this one, I like the fact that they actually added that, the whole, like, not even though they put it in the World War access of it, but they put, like, the Asian mythology of it in there.
Yeah.
Which I actually like.
Yeah, and, then
you
we
know
get,
they don't like making other races seem like the bad guys in these movies, right? You know.
Did you? You know what I realized when I was watching it? That General Mora, I think Mora.
Yeah.
He did not look Japanese. He really looked like he was American.
It was funny because at first when I saw him, he didn't look Japanese. But then when he finally got out of that shadow and shit, and I was like, oh, I've seen this guy before. Okay, yeah, he's Japanese.
He looked like he was black, light-skinned black guy.
I thought he kind of reminded me of Luke Evans a little bit.
Okay.
When he was in the shadow. Well, this is when I first saw the film, like, when it first came out in 08 or whatever. And I was looking at him, and I was like, he looks like he isn't Japanese or whatever. And then when he came out of the shadow, and I was like, yeah. I went back to my mom's house and looked at my stepdad, and I was like, yeah, he is Japanese.
But
even if he wasn't Japanese, though, which would be funny if he wasn't, whatever.
Yeah.
He might be half, for all I know. I don't know his, like, whole background thing or whatever, but I know he grew up in Japan and stuff like that, but he played a goddamn pretty good convincing Japanese.
I don't consider him the bad guy. I consider his little freaking lackey the worst bad guy, because he's kind of a douche.
Yeah, his wacky was just a little sick head. I found, like, the general, like you said, I didn't find him to be a bad guy neither. What I found him more was just, he's competitive. I saw it in a way.
And fair.
Yeah, he seems fair. He's like, when one of the Chinese masters gets shot or whatever, he's like, why the hell did you shoot him or whatever? He's like, if you ever pull a gun in this, he's like, I started this tournament for training and testing wits and stuff like that, not for you to be pulling gun fires and stuff in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I don't see him being the bad guy. And he, you know,
he kind of just let him beat up Lee. Is it Lee? The police officer, his translator.
Yeah, the thing that makes him the bad guy the most is just his power and him being Japanese. And at this time, this is when Japanese were just invading all the Asian countries and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much more of a... Because, you know, Chinese, they're all about honor and dynasties and family and shit like that, whatever. And pretty much with them invading China, he said in the film, he's like, you invade my country, you want me to train your people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You invade my country, you take our food, you give us scraps or whatever, and then you want me to train your people. That's the ultimate insult ever.
Yeah, and also, because he even said, he goes, Japan's martial arts is far superior than China.
Yeah, so...
And so he just wanted to prove that. That's why he wanted... He accepted Ip Man's challenge.
It's funny, because in the second one, it's the British who's saying... they're saying that boxing is superior to the Chinese dancing.
Dancing?
That's what they call them. They call them just a bunch of pretty little dancers or whatever. And that the European... Or no, just Western boxing is more superior than anything ever faced.
Okay.
Which I was just like... Crazy? How are you doing this?
But I'm not gonna lie, the martial arts scenes were fucking fabulous.
I don't understand in some of these big blockbuster summer films we get why they don't get some of these action these Chinese choreographers to help with these fight scenes in these movies. Because
I'm sure they're cheaper than what they got now.
Oh hell yeah, I know they are. They have to be cheap as shit or whatever. They have to be cheap. I mean, you know, because American money compared to the Chinese money, I know it's a lot more. First of all, so mm-hmm. You know, they'd probably be like shit. Take it. But also, with their fight and action scenes, which is something I appreciate about the martial arts films too, is the cameras are perfect. The you see every blow from blow. The zoom in shots are perfect. I'm just like, this can be done.
Mm-hmm. It's just that these guys, America, they rush it too much. It looks like they take their time over in China when they're making this, something like this.
It looks more like when you see that in American films, it looks more studio pushed than it does the creator of the. It looks like you said, it's more rust, and it feels like the studio had an involvement in this with saying, oh, we don't want to get this guy to do this, whatever. Let's just have him do it, but he doesn't know how to fight, so let's just zoom the camera in real badly or whatever. I mean, I don't understand why, because the choreographer they had on here, I want to say his name was Sammo Hung? I believe it was Sam Hung. I'm just going with that, whatever. Sam Hung. That guy is fucking amazing. Amazing with his choreo. I saw a video documentary of him, whatever, and how he was showing some of how he worked on some of these martial arts films. And his choreographer is just beautiful. He has his own cameraman too, whatever. And this camera guy is just like he's perfect with that go around. Like whenever Ip Man does like the multiple punches on the body.
Oh, that whatever, is cool.
And the camera is zooming in around on the crowd. I was like, that is fucking phenomenal. Seriously.
Yeah, that is a really cool. That was a really cool shot. I mean, that's why I said the cinematography was amazing.
Yeah, it looks independently shot, too.
Like,
the background shot, like, you know, it never felt like it was bright and sunny and everything was happy. It mm-hmm. felt like they really were at war.
Yeah. But that's why I loved when, I can't think of his name, when the outsiders, the out-of-towners, whatever the hell they were called.
Oh, yeah.
When they came in and he challenged the three different, martial arts masters, and then he went to Ip Man. Those fight scenes were great.
Yeah.
Especially with the weapons on that second fight. That was cool.
The main guy with the mustache, his name was Jin Shanzhao.
Yeah.
They're from the north. And once again, it's another part of the country that's trying to prove that they're better than, you know, the southern martial arts style or whatever. They want to open up their own school. That way people will pay them lots of money to come learn from them and shit. So they feel like they need to go beat up every master to show that they're better than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much do it, except when they're at this little restaurant and this dude, they're just talking shit like, nobody here can fight. And then the restaurant owner's like, you think you're the best? Well, you need to defeat the best. Go visit Ip Man. They show up to his house with a crowd and shit, thinking they badass, whatever, and I'm thinking, like, Ip Man, he's like, oh, you're in a fight for your life, man. Defeat all these masters. Ip Man beats him without a fucking breaking a sweat, you know?
Yeah, and he's respectful during that fight, too. He goes, are you all right? Are you all right? That's why I thought this guy's pretty cool.
He's respectful. Yeah, he keeps asking. And I like how whenever they knock stuff over, he keeps looking at it and just like,
Yeah.
He pays attention to his surroundings pretty well. And every fight scene he has, even in the first and second film, it's always for some kind of honor of either his city or his people or his country. And he gets more popular with that in each one, where like he's the most respectful man in China. Because he always defends their honor. Like, they can always look upon, like, I mean, I don't know if America has that. I guess we got Obama. I guess Obama's are. But, like, every time China is at an all-time low or whatever, and whenever, like, either the Europeans, the Japanese, or the Americans come over and try to tell the Chinese people how nothing they are, they're a bunch of slack-jawed yodels or whatever and shit, doesn't know shit or whatever, this guy, Ip Man, always steps up to it and proves them wrong and puts China back on the map as being somewhat, you know, respectable, as a respectable country.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I did like the fight scenes. I liked the fight scenes when he took on the 10 guys.
Oh, that was amazing, dude!
Did he kill any of those guys?
It looked like it, but at the end of it, they were still, like, I was looking at a couple of them, because I was like, I know he didn't kill them, but they were moving still.
Because that one guy that got his, like, he was like, he went for a kick, and he caught his leg, and kind of, like, bent it up, like he broke his leg when he was in the
Denny. He does that move like 3 times. I saw in this series of both the first and second one. What he does is like he does like a sweep and he grabs a leg and spins it over your back, and then he'll get on your back and start punching the shit out of the back of your head. I fucking love that move.
That was awesome.
Dude, this move, I can't even keep up with that shit. I'm just like, this dude is a bona fide badass.
That's when, at the end when he got shot, I thought, I was like, oh, is he going to be a badass and just walk it off and just walk down? I was like, I think he is. And they started moving. I'm like, no. I thought he was really good. Take it like a champ.
It would have been badass, because I always thought that, like, the style of Bruce Lee, I thought he got it from Ip Man as well. But you can tell their styles are so different. Even though Ip Man's the one to teach them, Ip Man is more humble and toned down. Bruce Lee is more cocky and a little bit more arrogant, especially with that walk. I thought when he got shot, he was going to do that walk like Bruce Lee. Like, motherfucker, who shot me?
Yeah, but I thought that was really cool. All the
fight scene with the 10 people, that was amazing. Because before that is we get the fight scene with one of the Chinese masters. He's beating up people every day, because what it is, the Japanese general is holding up competitions. If you win your fight, he'll give you a bag of rice, because they took all their food and everything or whatever, so they're reduced to getting the bag of rice. And and he beats up one guy, but he's just like, can I fight 3 more for more rice and shit? And these 3 guys beat the shit out of him, and I was just like, wow, I guess you didn't really think that through, did you?
And he said he's beat. He announced he was beat.
He knows when he's beat. And Ip Man is watching the whole thing too, whatever. And he picks up his bag of rice that he won in the first fight, which I'm not going to lie, I probably would have picked up too, because I won that fight, so I earned this rice, whatever. But the Japanese general's little lackey, that little bitch, whatever, he reminded me of some fucking, like, snake or something like that. His little punchy little face. Like, I wanted to punch the shit out of him. I was like, man.
Yeah, I didn't like him at all.
I was waiting for him to get in the ring with Ip Man. I was waiting for something.
He got his ass kicked, and then the interpreter shot him.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Japanese general's little snake or whatever, he shoots this dude or whatever, and Ip Man, he fucking loses his shit, and he's like, let me in here, let me in. He's like, I'll fight now. And then when he look at him, he's like, I want to fight 10 people. And they look at him, even the general, he stands up, he's like, what did you just say? And this whole crowd just gets up. I was like, that looked like more than 10.
I know, I did too. Because he said, like, groups A, C, and H or whatever. And yeah. I'm like, that doesn't equal to 10.
Yeah, exactly. I started doing the numbers. I was just counting. I was like, we got 4 in this group, 4 and 8. I was like, well, maybe there's 2 in that last one. I was like, I don't know how this works out with her. But it was funny because when the whole fucking arena got up and shit, and they all circled, these groups started coming in, Ip Man didn't look humble no more. He looked like the type of guy, piss him off, he'd fucking murder you or something. Because it was just phenomenal how this action scene was shot. Like, this is probably one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen right here.
It was very, very cool. And the weird thing is, he picked up that bag of rice with the blood on it when the master got shot, and he took it home to his family. I'm like, why would you want to eat rice with blood on it?
It was funny because I was like, because he earned like 10 bags of rice, and he didn't take anything because he's like, I don't need your charity.
No, he gave him, he threw one bag down.
No, he threw 10 down.
They gave him 10?
Yeah, they gave him 10 bags, whatever. He walked away and he picked up the one bag that had the blood on it that got, that was belonged to the master or whatever and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes it back to their family, and I was like, Man, that's kind of a dick move, dude. You taking back a bag of blood.
I know. And that's how, like...
He didn't say anything. He just went in there and just threw the bag down and was like, sorry for your loss, and just walk out.
I don't want to get something, a bag of rice with blood on it.
Yeah, I'd rather be just told it. I'd be like, hey, okay, brother, man, you could have just... couldn't get another bag, so I'm like,
you could at least...
Because when he shoots the Chinese master or whatever, that dude's face lands, like, right up. Because he got shot in the head. He lands right on the bag, face first, whatever. And I'm just like, damn, all that blood and drip in there, whatever. I was like, and then he picks that bag up, and I was like, all right.
The thing that I kind of knew this was going to happen, I did not like this character. I think his name was Lin. The his brother was one that saw the fight at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Lin.
I did not like him because he's always smiling. He's always, like, carefree. He's like, master, I just learned these two moves. Practice with me. Then he gets his ass kicked. And then he was fighting, him and two other guys were fighting the general. And the general.
I was talking about Lin, the other guy that the brother that had the kite. I thought you were talking about him.
No, I'm talking about his brother.
Whose brother?
The one that was always smiling. The one that had the tin that was working with Ip Man at the coal mine.
Yeah, you talking about his little brother, the one that had the kite?
No, I'm talking about the older brother.
Oh, that was his older brother? I don't remember.
It was a brother. It was his brother. He was always smiling.
No, I don't think that was his brother.
I think it was. I think it was his brother.
I don't think that they were related at all. They were. Yeah, I don't know if they were related.
I think they were because they said your brother.
Yeah, they all said that though.
Well, what Ip Man tells?
Ip Man even called him his brother as well.
Ip Man called his house slave, whatever it was, uncle.
He called her auntie.
He called him auntie.
That was a woman. His
it was a it was a guy. It was at the very first thing when he's like
the doorman. You talking about his main house slave was a woman?
Okay, so it was a doorman.
Yeah, the
he door called man. Him uncle. I'm like, that's how you treat family.
And he even calls that dude you were saying his the dude that ran the factory or whatever. He even called him his uncle, and they wasn't related.
Okay, maybe, I don't know, but...
They probably just keep it close to the family.
But, yeah, I didn't like that character, because he was always smiling, then he just, when he was fighting the general, and those other two guys, like, we can't beat him, we quit. And he would not...
get each other.
He's like, he would not quit, and he got killed. He must have died after he hit the ground or something, I don't know.
I didn't like his little brother, to be honest.
No, when he paired up with the outsiders...
Yeah, well, I didn't like him in the beginning of the first setup.
No, because he's like,
he was a little too over the top for the film, whatever. Like, everybody else was just playing normal. He was like he was the one playing, like, the Chinese stereotype of being over the top. He was playing it like this was an old-school Chinese...
Did. He did when he was telling everybody that the master got beat by
Ip Man. Yeah, exactly. I was like, how the fuck did he do that in an hour? He didn't throw the whole fucking town.
That's the thing that cracks me up at the beginning when the new master, he's the one that got shot... when he goes into his house, he goes, practice with me, it's not a good time, I'm eating dinner, I'll wait for you. I'm like, motherfucker, just take no. He's like, I'll wait for you.
He's sitting there all calm and shit, and I like how he did that too, because after he was all done, I was like, oh man, because I thought, like, when I first saw it, I was like, this dude must be a badass, and if he doesn't have people waiting on him and shit like that, whatever. And I'm thinking, like, okay, so he came in here pretty much with an attitude, challenging Ip Man. He was going to beat the shit out of Ip Man. Ip Man beats the shit out of him, and I'm just like, wow, maybe you should have just said no. He took that ass whooping, I mean, just shit.
And he's like, he invites him over to the table to eat with them, and he's like, all of a sudden he's reaching for all this food, and the wife just looks at him like, god damn it.
God damn, how many people do you invite in this goddamn house? Because Ip Man's a very humble, like, once again, he's a very humble man. He invites his friends over, they all hang out, he teaches them martial art techniques and stuff like that.
In secret. No one can watch any of their sparring.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for respect, but if your master got beat by Ip Man, are you going to really lose respect for your master?
The thing is, not only you lose respect, but his dojo would lose students.
Well, if Ip Man's supposed to be such a badass that everyone loves, if your master got beat by him, I wouldn't think anything different, because it's like, okay, you know, you got beat.
Yeah, but you know, do you really want to be trained by a guy that's gotten beat, or do you want to be trained by the best? Like, you know, it's like, would you go to column A, knowing that column A plus is better?
No.
Speaking to you in general, like, would you go to you go to Walmart or would you go to Target, you know?
Target?
Yeah, exactly, because Target's better. So why would you do that? It's like one of those things, you know? It's like, would I get Welch's cranberry juice or Ocean Spray, you know?
No, I'm just saying that if I would understand if my match got beat by the most decorative martial arts guy in the whole town. I'm gonna respect that he challenged him and actually sparred with him. I'll respect that.
Yeah, I wouldn't respect that. I'd be like, why would you challenge him? You shouldn't be challenging him in the first place, first of all, if they know that. That's the first thing. And nobody knows really Ip Man's, like, technique, really.
What was it called?
What's his
fighting style called?
It's the Wing Chun or whatever. Wing Chun wasn't popular, and nobody knew about that fighting style because Ip Man kept it in secret.
Okay, because he even said he didn't train. He never trained anybody because he didn't like student. He didn't want to train anyone.
No, he didn't want to train anyone or whatever. So yeah, nobody knew his fighting style and what it was, or whatever. So he was more like a myth at the time until he became this famous Chinese hero.
Yeah. And, you know, we said he was so humble. He even gave his friend, like, I don't know how much money, but a big thing of money to start up a cotton mill.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about a factory. Yeah, it did look like a lot of fucking money. Because Ant-Man was very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the film, that was before the Japanese invaded, and the Japanese just took everything. They turned his house into, like, a fucking Japanese
battle base, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Headquarters, yeah.
Well, I mentioned at the time, 1930, yeah, I guess so.
How did he make his money?
I'm not sure how they never said how the beginning of the how he made his movie, because I never saw, like, an early documentary of him or whatever. I heard he came from a family of wealth or whatever.
Okay.
But I never knew about his early stages of his life or anything like that. Ip Man at this age right here where I know, that's the earliest I know him at.
Yeah, he looks like he's maybe in his 30s, maybe early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be late 20s, I don't know.
Yeah, he looked like about 31, 32 maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really liked how humble he was and how good of a guy he was. That really made the character really cool.
Mm-hmm. Made him really good or whatever, and his fighting style was just, it's fucking amazing. Just because they open up every movie and almost ended with him doing his fighting style against his which is funny because when he fought the general at the end, he used him as his, I forgot what they call those things, that board he had where he fights on with the stick sticking out of it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a punching bag type thing.
Let's just call it a wooden punching bag. He uses the general, like, you know, he treats him like
wooden dummy.
Yeah, like a wooden dummy, yeah. And I like how he uses the general as that at the end and how they keep showing from scene to scene of him training to him fighting this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the punches are getting even more ferocious after every time they flash back to that scene.
He didn't get killed, did he? The general didn't die, did he?
I'm not sure in the movie itself, whatever. The general died in real life, I know.
Well, yeah, obviously he's dead now, but...
Yeah, but in the movie, I'm not so sure, because he looked like he was dead, but, yeah, you never know. Because they didn't really say anything, but, like, but once again, he looked dead because he was fucking bleeding all over the fucking face.
Yeah.
Because after you see him slide down from the little wood thing or whatever... He just lays there, eyes open and shit, blood cover him. That's like the last shot you see of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if he was not, like, bloodied up like he was, I'm sure he would have probably killed his little fucking part, his little freaking sidekick for shooting him. Because he seemed like, because remember, the sidekick said he wanted to shoot Ip Man. And he goes, he challenged him to a fight. What's the difference between shooting him in the head and losing? It's admitting defeat.
Yeah, because if you remember the scene before the fight scene where they were in the jail cell and the general was talking to Ip Man, and it pretty much seemed like the general, even though he's working for the Japanese and thinking that his thing is better, he's kind of being a dictator at the same time. He seemed to be more respectful of each one's fighting style, whatever. But then after that scene, the little fucking weasel comes in there and he's just like, I'm just going to shoot you regardless or whatever.
Yeah, and
like,
he said, you have to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Tells that to the other guys. Well, he's like he's gonna have to lose regardless. He wins or lose, I'm gonna shoot him anyway. And I'm just like, damn, somebody take this gun away from this dude.
Which was, I mean, the interpreter. That's the point when the general and Ip Man were in the cell. Obviously, Chinese and Japanese are completely different languages. How would the general know what Ip Man's saying without the interpreter? You don't think?
Because remember, he pushed that food away that he gave away. He just pushed it away to him or whatever. So I'm thinking he took it as an insult.
Okay, so they were talking to each other, but no one knew what the hell. Neither one knew what they were saying.
He was talking more to It Man. It Man only said one thing. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck the general was talking about. He was sitting up there just talking about honor, and it was like, okay, he really can't understand you at the same time. And then he hands that food to It Man, and It Man just pushes that shit away, and the general just gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Which, when It Man gets caught, when he agrees or challenges the general and he's taken away, then he tells his friend who runs the cotton mill to like take his wife and son away for safety. Why were they like their hands bounded in the car?
I'd assume that they tried to put up a fight, so he just tied their asses up. Whatever. Which I was like, damn, subtlety. Didn't they say something about Oh yeah, they did at the beginning of the film, whatever, when they were talking about how like women, he's like, I don't let my wife ruins me or whatever. I just respect her or whatever.
Yeah, that's when he was about to fight the outsider.
Yeah, and he just like laughed at him. I was just like, here we go with the disrespecting women thing again.
did you like that they brought the outsiders back as like bullies to the cotton mill business, and then they trained the whole company to fight? Did you like that?
The outsider, well, that the main outsider, which is Jin, he actually has a bigger role in the not so much a bigger role, but he actually appears in the second one too.
Okay, because I didn't mind him.
Yeah, the rest of them are nobody. The one, of course, was the little brother of Lin, who got killed earlier, and the little brother who I didn't like.
No,
I think that was just a scene for to find out what happened to the brother. It really adds to it.
Because I love when he's like, when they're like, oh, train us, Hitman, and that one old man. Yeah, I want to train me. And then they fight, and that old man's like backing away from the fight, trying to hide. I'm like, you little fucking pussy.
You should see what happened to the guy that owns the cotton mill or whatever. In the second film, he gets shot in the head.
Oh, I liked him.
But he lives.
What?
Yeah.
So I mean, like, it's possible, it's like I know, but still.
It's like a scrape wound. It's not like really like a bullet goes through the middle of the head or whatever. It's kind of like it didn't like penetrate. It just like scraped the piece of the top of the head off, like scarred and shit or whatever and shit. Mm-hmm. But apparently it hits him in the brain or whatever. So in the second film, all he sees is like everybody is Japanese to him, and he believes he's homeless and he runs the streets stealing food and shit like that. Like the son you saw in this movie too, he doesn't even know that's his son and shit like that. His son like. The Hit Man sees him like running with a piece of duck in his hand or whatever, and the son just tells him, he's like, yeah, ever since he got shot in the head, he has been right. Hit Man feels guilty because, you know, it was when Hit Man got shot, it was him that took him to Hong Kong and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Hit Man feels like it's his fault that what happened to him is what happened. Because the dude, he actually, in this movie, he looks old or whatever, but in the second one, he looks crazy as shit, dude. I was like, man, that bullet won't fuck him up.
But. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't kind of like that. I kind of thought that was kind of pointless over to the overall story.
It was just a scene to add more kung fu, which was funny because, well, actually, you know what? That scene, it does add something to the second film because they make fun of it, actually, whatever. He was like, because the guy, the outsider, he becomes like, he gets a wife and a kid. He becomes all good and shit like that. He looks up to It Man now as a master and all that. And he says, I got you to think you about that, Hit Man. He's like, ever since we had that running at the steel mill and you hit me in the head of the ear with that fucking stick or whatever. He said, I saw things clearly now.
That was actually kind of funny because when he hit him in the ear, you can hear like the echo. Like they did the sound effect of the echo.
Yeah, and
it really affected his hearing.
Yeah, and it was awesome, too, because he goes deaf in that ear, too, in the second film.
Okay, that's cool.
So he makes a joke, but he was just like, because the It Man was talking to him, he's like, huh? He's like, oh, let me sit on this side. He's like, I haven't been right ever since you hit me in the head with that stick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check out the part two.
I love part two. I was going to say part two, but my choice was whatever, but I was like, I feel like you have to see the first one to get to know the characters first.
Okay.
Before you jump in. I don't like jumping in sequels before I don't see the first one, you know, so. But, my favorite part of it was introducing the whole Japanese, invasion and stuff like that, though. I thought that was a nice little take on a martial arts film.
Yeah, it was, and that's why I said it. I kind of thought that maybe something with World War II was going to play into it just because of the time effect. Mm-hmm. And I was right, so I was right, but mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't do nothing to the story, so.
I thought what I liked about it was, like, you know, you see It Man. He's a wonderful fucking life. He's one of the greatest fucking martial arts masters. He's got a beautiful wife, got a child, he's got a lovely home, got money, he's not struggling like the rest of the people in China and whatever. And then when the Japanese invasion happened, it just shows you, like, everyone failed during that time.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And that's why I call it when the generals, like, train my soldiers, I'm like, you're going to war with guns. What's Kung Fu gonna do with that?
What kind of dick move is that? Hey, I want you to train my soldiers. You just defeated, like, 10 of them. Really bad, too, by the way.
Yeah, he pretty much depleted his... And plus, who knows how long that one master that got shot, how many guys he beat up.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like he's been fighting here for a while now and shit.
And what was... Does Ip Man always wear that robe?
Yeah.
Is that the only thing he always wore? He even wore it into the coal mine. That was the funny part.
Yeah, and the dude brought it up, and he's like, you shouldn't wear that to the coal mine here or whatever. And he was like, it'd be alright.
He's like, I wasn't expecting to work in a coal mine.
It's funny, he probably opens up his closet, what to wear today? He's got like 10 fucking robes up there. It's funny, because that's what Bruce Lee wears. That's all he wears.
Yeah.
I would love to see that movie where he trains Bruce Lee and they have a sparring match.
Well, you gotta wait a couple weeks, right?
Too bad both of them are dead, but you know.
Yeah, you gotta wait a couple weeks.
Hopefully they put that in the movie. If not, I don't think they are. To be honest, I think it's just a rumor. I don't think they would have got the rights to that. If they would have had the first fucking successful film of Ip Man, which was very successful in Hong Kong and stuff like that, even as far as being a movie production wise, it was highly credited and everything. Even in America, it was highly credited. If they couldn't agree to the rights in the second film, I don't think they would agree to it in the third one with a whole new cast and director and shit.
Yeah, so we'll wait to see. I doubt it's going to be on Netflix. Probably until maybe early next year.
It probably will. You know, these limited release films get on Netflix pretty early.
Okay.
Probably like end of December, maybe January, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching Ip Man 2 soon, so I'll definitely have to check out 3.
Love Ip Man 2. Love Ip Man 2. But yeah, I give it a C, man.
I'm going to give it a very high large. It was a very entertaining movie. The cinematography is beautiful, and I love the fucking fight scenes. Those were so well did, and there's a lot of stuff you've never seen before, because I don't watch martial arts movies, and this might have been, like, my first one. I can't remember if I've seen others, but it was...
Did you see Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Kind of an Americanized,
But this was a very good... I've seen a lot of stuff in fight scenes I've never seen before, and it was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm looking at the cinematographer right now, whatever, Osing Pui. I don't know, Pui or Pai.
Osing Pui. Pui.
No, Osing Pui, yeah. That guy is fucking amazing, and we need to get his ass over here in America.
We need to get that Donnie Yang who played Ip Man in over here, because liked him.
Donnie Yang is fucking amazing.
I liked him. And I liked the general, too. Those are, I did not, like you said, we both said, I don't see the general as the bad guy, which is weird. He's supposed to be the bad guy, but I don't really see him as the bad guy.
That's one of my favorite things of Asian cinema, too, whatever. Or at least martial arts Asian cinema, whatever. It's like, even like in the second one, some of the Chinese people, they're some of the biggest assholes ever. But they all still have that respect for one another because of their culture and what they came from and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. It's like, you can be an asshole to someone, but, you know, you can still respect them.
Now, the interpreter, mm-hmm. he was the police chief or inspector.
Yeah, he was the police chief.
Was he the first one that when Ip Man knocked the gun barrel out, was that him?
Yeah.
That was him? Okay.
Oh my god, I forgot about that scene. That was a badass scene.
That was cool. I was like, I remember he got Ip Man picked up the barrel and he's looking at it like, how the fuck did he do that? And he just looked behind him. Go, everyone leave. He's like,
people, there's a scene in here where everybody's karateing over because they think they're about to have another fight, whatever. The police chief's coming over. He's like, you martial artists, they're always causing trouble and stuff like that. And he's like, martial arts are old. This is what you need, a gun. And he points it at Ip Man. Ip Man looks at it like, oh, the fuck you didn't put him in? And he takes the barrel. He barely touches the gun. He slaps the gun, and the barrel just rolls right out. And I was just looking at that like, damn, that's a bad motherfucker.
And that's really impossible, but it was fucking badass.
1930s gun, you know. Those guns look like shit.
It was badass.
If you like that scene with the 10 guys in the second one, he fights like 50 of them with swords and shit.
What? I definitely have to see that now. I really definitely have to see that.
It was fucking phenomenal. Like, one of his students get, like, taken, held hostage and shit like that. and he has to free this student. His student is tied up, right? And as he's fighting these guys, his student is so eager to get into the fight that he even, fights his student at the same time of not getting involved,
mm-hmm.
which is fucking amazing. I was just looking at that like, how the fuck is he doing all this shit?
No, that was fucking cool. I mean, there is not, besides that him training the steel workers or the cotton workers, that's the only scene I kind of
if you like training scenes or whatever, the second one has a much better training scene when he trains, because he actually opens up his own school in Hong Kong, because now he feels like he should teach people to defend themselves or whatever, which is why he trained the steel mill thing or the cotton mill thing or whatever. It's, you know, this is a time of war and people should know how to defend themselves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They do it when he trains the students in this film. It's a much better scene. Cause like in that one, it just felt like a montage in this one. But in the second one, it actually just goes into depth about it.
Yeah, that's the only problem I have with the movie. That's why I didn't give it a bucket, but I give it a really high large.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with you completely on that, though. But you should go see the second one, man. If you enjoyed that 10-man fight,
I definitely will be doing that one.
There's one where I want to say 50, but it could have been more than that. Only reason it stopped is because their master showed up.
Is it long?
It goes on for about a good 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely have to see it.
They pick up, like, machetes, and, like, one picks up a stick with a chain at the end of it, and he's still fighting or whatever. He uses, like crates out of, like, that you pick up with, like, forklifts and shit. He uses a crate to defend himself against the blades and shit, and he beats them up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, he captures their machetes with it and spins the crate around and grabs the machetes and just starts slapping people with it. Like, because he never kills. He doesn't kill with weapons. So what he does, you even see it in the movie, he turns the machetes around and just starts slapping the shit out of them with it.
Did you know there's an It Man TV show?
Yeah, I knew there was an It Man TV show as well.
So that's really cool. Was that his real name? It's It Man?
Yeah, Ip Man. Ip Man.
Okay.
Master Ip.
Okay. So I thought that was kind of I wondered if that was his real name. I just thought maybe it was a nickname or something given to him.
I would love to go to China to figure that out. I'll learn more about this guy, though.
His real name's Manip.
Manip.
Manip. Man up. Man up. That's his man up.
If you want to be an American, yeah. But I always call people by their Chinese. I don't Americanize things.
Man up.
I'm not the British. I don't try to Westernize everything. I like to keep their culture the same. You ready to get some comments, though?
Yes, sir.
First comment here we got is Alex. Says, Z, you sound so defeated reviewing this film, like it sucked the soul out of you or something. And he's talking about Twilight, of course, or whatever. It's coming for a Twilight review. He says, I completely agree with you guys, though, but if you had to remake Twilight, would you follow the books, change the cast, and if so, who would you cast? Would I follow the book? I never read the books. I don't know what the books are like.
I never read the books.
Yeah, so I don't
know. I would not remake this series. That's the best answer I can give. I would not remake this series.
I would, if the books are like the movie, I would go away from the books then.
You would go away, or wouldn't?
I would go away from the books then.
Well, I don't know, like, what you said, what Lena said, that the second one's not from the book.
The ending isn't.
Or the ending's not from the book, which I'm kind of curious what the real true ending is.
I hear the ending is worse.
It's worse?
Yeah.
How can you get worse than what it was in a movie?
Yeah, so I honestly, I don't know. I'm kind of curious myself, too, but I don't want to pick that fucking up.
No, I don't either. But recasting, like I said in the review, I don't mind Kristen Stewart. I don't.
Really?
I
keep her?
I don't mind her. I think she's pretty.
You said pretty, yeah? We're talking about her acting skills. Come on now. You would keep
her
in this
She film? Did a serviceable job.
No, the fuck she did not. You know, she was the reason why this movie couldn't go. I'm sorry, but actors could take your movie a long way. It proved that with Two Guns, Kick Ass. I mean, it proved that with a lot of films this summer that, like, a lot of directed and plot, story-wise, whatever, were bad, but their actors carried that shit, whatever. And Kristen Stewart is one of the fucking reasons why this movie's horrible. Shit, she's a bitch.
I didn't mind her.
Nah, you crazy now. Damn, you suck. First Mortal Instruments, now this shit. If I had to change her, I'd put Emma Stone in it.
Okay, I would like that.
It'd give it more life. At least Emma Stone, even when she's not trying, she's always got like an energetic self-personality about herself.
Yeah, she's a really great actress.
She would bring energy to the franchise. Kristen Stewart just bland. She doesn't have any energy or anything. She doesn't even look like she wants to be there. That's a problem, too. If the actor can't sell this shit to me, why the fuck should I go along with it or whatever? I think Emma Stone, I get
Jennifer Jacob. Lawrence.
Jacob would be Ryan Gosling.
Okay, and who would Edward be?
The Rock. Edward would be
Paul Walker.
Vin Diesel, but no, I'm just playing Tyrese. I'm trying to think. I would get I'm trying to think of the
Jordan Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I think because I hear you say Jennifer Lawrence and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think they're too above something like this.
And Emma Stone's not.
I don't think she hasn't had that Oscar-winning thing yet.
Ryan Gosling would, because I think he was nominated for Drive.
Yeah, he was also probably might get nominated for A Place Beyond the Pines this year too.
Or Only God Forgives.
But he's still him and I think him and Emma Stone really have some good chemistry together. They can pull something out.
Yeah, they do.
He's not up there on like Hollywood's A-list yet. He's getting up there though, but
yeah, know, he's like on the border between A and B.
He keeps hitting misses. That's why. So it's always every now and then. Who would I'm trying to think of someone to play Edward because he'd have to be the main. Well, they're all kind of main people, or whatever. It hit me right now. Get Luke Evans. How about that? There you go.
He's too old.
Yeah, he's shit. So, Edward looks old.
just okay. I'm not. You're gonna laugh, but Zac Efron.
I wouldn't laugh at that. I see Zac Efron. I kind of want Zac Efron to stay away from this kind of stuff.
Because he's not a bad actor. He's not.
He's not, and that's why I kind of wish he'd stay. I don't want him. That's why I didn't say his name, because I don't want him to be around us, because I feel like he still gets, even with movies he does, he still gets labeled as that Disney guy, and this wouldn't help his career.
No, you're right. It wouldn't.
I don't think it'd help his career. Ryan Gosling, he got away from that, and I don't think anything he could have did, honestly, would be like, you know, whatever. But
no, the movie didn't suck. Well, the movie did kind of suck, because it does suck, so it did kind of suck the soul out of me. So you're kind of right, Alex.
But I'd be Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, and I can't think of if I'm gonna play Edward. I'm trying to think of someone.
I can't.
Get a black guy in there. I would. Get Anthony Mackie, dude. That was in
How about Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan's too good for this shit too. That's why was you Jordan?
But you're throwing Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling under the bus.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan's almost an Academy Award winner compared to Emma Stone. Emma Stone's a great actress, but she ain't did shit that's been not. Like, her last thing was fucking Gangster Squad. That movie was horrible.
I haven't seen it.
And she did Movie 43, so she'll do any fucking thing. Ryan Gosling, man, he didn't did a good movie since Drive. Well, Place Beyond the Pines was good, but he wasn't because of him. It was mainly because of Bradley Cooper.
Okay. It's just really hard to cast this.
Michael B. Jordan's already passed Emma Stone and fucking Ryan Gosling.
From
already.
One movie?
One movie? Three movies.
What was the third? I know this one, Chronicle, what was the other one?
It was some limited release film I saw. I can't remember the fucking name of it now. Gotta look it up now. Oh, and it's voice acting work in the Justice League animated film as well.
How about Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth, all I can think of is Thor, that's why. I'm trying to think of an unknown, that's why. Someone to give him a boost in something like this.
A boost, eh? Yeah, well, it's gotta be a top actor to sell it.
It's like a boost in their career and shit like that. Like someone that's like really, who's like noticeable, but at the same time he's not.
How about the one guy from Chronicle? Not Dane, the other guy.
The other guy?
Yeah.
He didn't really do. Well, I don't know what he did. I don't even know the actor's name, to be honest. I don't
Alex Russell, I just looked it up.
He hasn't done shit?
Host, he's in Carrie, the remake of Carrie.
He was in Host?
Yeah.
Talking about that Stephanie Meyer book?
Yes.
Are you fucking serious? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, I guess we know he got the shaft in that career out of Chronicle. So, Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah, put that guy in there then. He needs it.
He's not a bad actor, but he has the look to be elite. He can do this.
Damn, who was he in the Host?
He was a Seeker. Seeker Burns. I don't know.
So he's one of the aliens then. Okay, well, I don't remember seeing
him. Okay, what about one of the lead actors from that movie?
From where?
From the Host. That Ian, the guys, the love guys, the top two.
That's funny because I never saw them as lead guys when I was watching the movie. That's why. I couldn't understand what the fuck. At least in Twilight, I understood that there was a love triangle. I just didn't agree with it. And Host, I didn't know what that was.
It was a 3.5 triangle.
I don't know what the fuck that was, honestly. I was like, dude. I love how the boyfriend's like, I love you, Melody, no matter what. And then she comes back, he slaps the shit out of her. I'm just like, apparently you don't love her that much, then.
Yeah.
Like, even though she's an alien, he shows no reaction to her whatsoever. He just treats her like shit. I'm just like, okay.
Next comment?
Next comment comes from Cynthia. She says, you guys are going to laugh at this, but just got done listening to the Daily Spill today and heard Cyrus yell, "The future!" How do you guys feel about your, feel that you're inspiring people to say to use your catchphrases? Ha ha ha. P.S. Since this show started, I noticed on Facebook and Twitter people started posting throwback moments on Tuesdays. Ha 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 ha. Great show as always, and fuck Twilight.
Dude,
people's always been saying that.
Has he?
Well, you know, I'm talking about like whenever, you know, I say something.
Okay. So that's my nickname, Futures. The future, Z.
Yes, we can go by now.
Yeah, sure.
See, I gave you a nickname now, see?
Okay, that's...
I was drunk at the moment, but yeah, look, see? Help you out there.
Yeah, and the thing with throwback, there's like on Twitter, people do like, it's always throwback Thursdays.
I always see that shit now, but
it's always a trending topic. Like, Wednesdays is like, what woman you want or whatever the fuck it was. Wow. Or WCW or whatever the fuck it's called.
WTF, why the face?
Yeah, so...
But I just recently started seeing that throwback Thursday shit too as well, whatever. I was just like, people stealing my goddamn thing. What the fuck is going on here? I never saw that before until we started this show.
Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah, so gotta get that trademark now so motherfuckers can see. Well, that's why they didn't say Tuesday. They do it on Thursday now.
So we own Throwback Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly, you fucking bastards. That's the reason why, because people was like, you should have had it on Thursday. I was like, no, that's okay.
No, Tuesday's cool.
Tuesdays are better. Fuck Thursdays. You know what Thursday? You know what a Thursday is to you?
Just the day before Friday?
Exactly. It's just like, damn. Well, it's Thursday, but it ain't no Friday.
I know, it's kind of like the bitch of the week.
It's that raggedy-ass stepchild you don't want. Oh, why you gotta be raggedy, people? Because he is. He ain't putting no clothes on. He's raggedy as fuck or whatever. But next comment here. That's from Andrew. He says, let's play a game. P1, I want you to say one positive thing about Twilight Breaking Dawn 1. You know, what the fuck? And Z, I want you to say something positive about the host. No backhanded compliments, but something you generally mean that is something that is good about both of these films. Game on, guys.
The host made me realize how awesome Radioactive Song is.
That song didn't even fucking come in the movie until the fucking credits.
But in the trailers, though, showing it.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta give one in the movie. You gotta give him in the movie.
Fuck. The lead actress was kind of hot.
Who is she, too? She's played in something.
Cerise Rowan? Yeah, she's, she was in Proof, Atonement, Lovely... She was in Lovely Bones.
Okay, I have seen this chick somewhere.
Hot.
She's hot. Her body looks like she looks like a fucking teenager.
And I like Diane Kruger. And I like William Hurt, and I like Diane Kruger, too. So, I like them.
What I can say about Twilight Breaking Dawn 1,
don't hurt yourself.
Jacob has nice abs. Did he take his shirt off in this movie? Yeah, I think he did.
Yes, he did at the very beginning.
He has nice abs, yeah. Oh, so yeah, there you go. He has nice abs. He works out really well. I give him that. He works out very nice. That's a compliment, right?
That's like a backhanded compliment, but what? You gotta say something about the movie.
Okay, the soundtracks are pretty good. I don't mind the soundtracks.
Okay. I agree with you on that. The soundtrack is pretty good, especially the first... Especially this one had Bruno Mars' song in it.
I don't actually remember none of the songs in the movie, except for the wedding one and the one where they were fucking and Edward was biting on the pillow. The wedding song and shit like that.
So.
Yeah, so that song is really good. Whatever. There's a lot... Actually, in the whole series, there's actually like good songs here and now and whatever. And I never hear them in the movie. I always hear him on the soundtrack when someone else is playing that shit or something. I go like, oh, that's pretty good, whatever. Like, even our fucking, on the last show we used to do, me and Lena, The Fuck or whatever. That was the opening song was from a Twilight album that Lena picked or whatever.
Was it?
Like, yeah. So,
I didn't know that.
So yeah, they always had some interesting music choices, but I was like, I don't never hear this shit in the movies or whatever. So that's my positive thing. Z doesn't have anything positive to say about the host.
Yes, I did.
No, he doesn't have anything positive.
Oh, I said that the girl, that the lead girl, was cute.
Yeah, like I said, he had nothing positive.
Okay. The idea was interesting, but they fucked up.
Yeah,
they did it the wrong way. That's a compliment. That's a compliment and the negative. The idea is interesting. It's just they fucked it up with the love story.
Now, you, I don't know if you remember when I saw the trailer or whatever, and I kept saying, I'm actually wanting to see this movie because the trailer looked really good.
Yes, it did. It made that, yeah. It's just, and I didn't know Stephanie Meyer did it. Yeah, you're
radioactive on the soundtrack of the trailer, and then you had like this whole alien thing going on, but it was like a love story. I was like, okay, I was like, this could work. I was, and plus, I just saw Beautiful Creatures. So I was just like, all right, I'm on my, you know, I'm giving things a chance here. I'm seeing things that might work with it. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's go see that. And I was just like, man, so many ideas they dropped the ball on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but anyway, next comment. That movie pissed me off just for that simple fact alone. Next comment here comes from Timothy. He says, glad to see you guys will be doing a martial arts film. Ip Man is definitely one of the best. What would you consider one of your favorite martial arts films?
Probably this one, since it's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, you've probably seen more. You just don't know it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Probably seen a lot of American ones you haven't known, because you brought up where I guess I'm not too familiar with like what Americanized martial arts films could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would assume Man with the Iron Fist is one for the simple fact that it was pretty much a martial arts tournament show like that.
Yeah.
So it was one of them, but mine is Ip Man 2.
That's
my favorite martial arts film. I love that film.
Yeah, I mean it's gotta be. I don't really have a choice. It's this one because I've not seen a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you watch Ip Man 2, I'd like to hear your review on that next week. So,
so you want me to watch it before next week?
Oh no, you can. Well, whenever you listen, watch it or whatever and shit like that. I'd like to hear your opinion on it.
Okay. Hopefully I see it soon.
Which is better than the first one, if you would agree?
Okay. So, hopefully I see it soon.
Okay. Last comment we got here is from Jason. Says, damn, this movie is horrible. I really have no idea why Twilight was such a success. Can either of you guys explain this to me? Anyways, nice show, guys. This is the only podcast show that I listen to daily. It doesn't matter if I have heard the show before or not. You guys are great, and I can't wait to hear more from you. That has got to be the sweetest comment ever, Jason. Come here and give P1 a hug right now. Don't mind that down there, down in my pants down there.
I have no idea why Twilight's a success. I can't explain it.
We've talked about this last week, too. Like, why all these other movies, like Mortal Instruments, Beautiful Creatures, The Host, Red, White, and Beasley, why they all failed and Twilight succeeded when they're pretty much almost the same damn thing, to be honest, whatever.
Maybe because this movie's the first one that's aimed at tweens.
And that's what we said last week.
How is it aimed at tweens, though?
It got lucky. It was just first.
That's the only reason?
I would assume, because, I mean, honestly, I don't see any difference between this and anyone. I mean, Beautiful Creatures was fucking great.
I still want to see that.
Actually, the more I think about that movie when I saw it again or whatever, I was just looking, I was just like, but once again, actors can take a movie a long way. Like, because I don't give a shit about, like, love angles and shit like that or whatever. But there was no love triangle in this movie or whatever. It was just a boy and a girl that wanted to be together because everybody else in the town is fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't because of these witches and shit like that, whatever. And I was like, yeah, see, character development can take you a long goddamn way in a movie or whatever. So, shit.
And I wish Mortal Instruments, I think it just made its budget back, but I wish that would have been more a success.
Yeah, exactly. And even though it made its budget back, it's still a failure and shit.
And they're already starting the second one this month.
Mm-hmm. So why they can't make over 100 million like Twilight did, I think it got to a point after, the third film, maybe? I think even people that didn't like the fucking film was going out to see it just to laugh and how ridiculous the shit it was.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I actually see that. I can actually see that happening.
Because I never, even though I didn't see him in theater, I only saw part one in theater, part one and part two, whatever, I still watched the previous ones at home, whatever. just so I could know what everybody was talking about and shit. At the same time, kind of get my own laughs in it after hearing reviews and shit of how crazy, ridiculous, and gay it was and shit. So, mm-hmm. But I don't know. I thought the host was worse.
The host was worse.
I think it's worse than Twilight, to be honest. The other ones, I could probably go back to and watch over again. Except for, I don't know, Beastly is kind of hateful.
I've never seen Beastly.
Oh, man, Beastly is so fucking drag out and boring or whatever, and it's just so bad, too, whatever. It's like, oh, my God, at least Twilight can get some kind of laughs at some points or whatever and shit, but I don't know. I guarantee you Host is my number one of being the worst.
Yeah, and I mean, the first Twilight, it made it... If you think about it, it's actually not a bad story, but they give so many bad examples.
I don't think anything is a bad story, it's just how you handle it.
And they did not handle it right, because they concentrated too much on the love story, which may be in the books, that's what it's aimed for.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, you got to think about it, too. It's not that they didn't handle it right, it's they were making it for a certain audience.
Yeah.
That audience did come out and they fucking loved it and they paid it to go see it twice and over again and whatever. So, it is one of those things that it's just like, it ain't for us, but at the same time, as the movies go on, they tend to get a little worse. Like that first one, I don't even mind so much or whatever. The first one bothers me now because I didn't think they were going to make 5 fucking movies out of the goddamn. I thought it was just going to be that one movie and just been like, okay, that's alright, whatever. And the next day, fucking 4 more come after, and I was like, alright, man, they're getting worse, dude. They're literally getting fucking worse. The second one was horrible. Third one, I think that should have been the second one. That way it wouldn't have been that bad or whatever. Because the third one, if I had to go from which ones I wouldn't mind watching, it'd be the first, third, and
fifth.
A blank question mark after that, because the part one and part two could have been the same goddamn movie, and number two was just so goddamn bad that it blended in with part one and part two.
Yeah, I don't mind the first one. I don't mind the third one. The third one actually might be my favorite, and the only pass I'd give to the last one was the fight scene, and then it pissed me off when we got the real ending.
Yeah, see, that's the only reason why I couldn't get that movie passed, because that fucking fight scene, because it wasn't even real. So, like, it pretty much just told me this whole fucking franchise had no consequences whatsoever. They were getting all amped up for no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about all this plans and shit of what they should do and do whatever, and all it comes down to is this chick going away for a couple of hours and coming back when they're about to have a battle and showing this guy the future of what could happen. And he decides, well, damn, if I'd have known that, I would have never got involved with him. Like, you got fucking vampires that can tell the future here, and you never once decided to, I'm gonna go ask this chick right now or whatever, hey, what does my future hold for me or whatever. You know what I mean? What kind of shit is that?
Oh, that's a beautiful point. I never thought about that. It's kind of like, you ever, like, I showed you that link last week, the Everything Wrong With.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you watch any of them?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome.
I'll never watch another movie the same way after watching those. But they're like... obvious example, Avengers, when Thor used the lightning to crash all the aliens. He goes, that's a nice trick that you did once. Why didn't you do it again? It's kind of like that. It's like they do these cool things that nothing ever happens. Like, another example, Harry Potter. In the third one, when she used the time spinning thing to go back in time, that was never brought up ever again in the movie.
Well, to be fair, with Thor, he can't keep that up, so... And for Harry Potter, why is it never brought up again? Oh, I could say, just for movie purposes, it'd be no fun if that was brought up. But I don't know.
Go back in time and kill Voldemort before your parents die.
That would alter history like a motherfucker. That was like years ago. So I was like, I don't know if I'd go back that far now or whatever. Because they actually, remember, they did that in that Justice League movie I told you about, the Flashpoint Paradox. Where
yeah.
Batman, Bruce Wayne gets killed, and then his father becomes Batman and shit. Yeah, he goes back in time, and he stops from his Flash's mother from dying, whatever, and then the whole world just changed to this fucked up Mad Max scene shit type style or whatever, where everything was in ruins and shit or whatever. So I don't know if you want to go back that far now.
So, it's just something that she can tell the future, but it's never brought up again. It's, you know...
It's never brought up in the whole goddamn series. It's like... If I had someone that could tell me the future, though, I think I would hire a request from her whenever I'm about to make a big decision, like going to fight with this family.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes out, I'm not really that big of a badass. When it comes to, I'm just a little bitch, to be honest. So, yeah.
So we're pretty much both both on point on that one.
Yeah, I have no idea why it's success, but so yeah, that's today's episode. I'm your host, Phenomenal One, MoviesSpoilersPodcast.com.
TheFanCritic.com.
And this has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 15.
15, we got 15!
Yeah, we got 16 if you want to count the best of us. You know.
Okay, we'll say 15 with an asterisk.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Put a little star in the corner of that or whatever. Yeah,
now, I got a question for you before we end it. Since you did Ip Man, are you basing on what's, like, coming out soon? Is that something we're going to start doing?
No.
Okay. I kind of thought that, because
you said... I told you this, man. Come on.
Because you said because of Grandmaster.
No, but I just said that on the show, but I already told you why I picked it or whatever. Come on now. Goodbye. Later.
Later.